afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. My guest today in the studio is a songwriter, musician, and I put songwriter first for a reason, Sean Burruss. And his touring schedule, eclectic. He does festivals, clubs, coffee shops, house concerts. In 2012, he was invited to perform on the BMI Songwriter stage at the French Quarter Festival in New Orleans, which is really a great tip of the hat to him. As in who he is as a songwriter. And one of the things that I have noticed about Sean is that he's one of the local songwriters in the area who garners a lot of acclaim from other songwriters. I hear a lot of great comments. So welcome, Sean.
Thank you.
To have you here. Do you hear that from other songwriters? Because that's something that I have just really noticed about you, that other songwriters really appreciate who you are.
I guess I can say that. I do have a lot of friends.
That are songwriters.
Yeah, correct, that I've met in this town, you know, and just getting to know everyone and learn from them.
Yeah.
They learn from me, I learn from them. So I guess I do hear it a bit, but...
You know, I'm curious in your life, what came first, writing or music?
It was music.
It was, okay.
Yeah, I was growing up, I was a drummer.
That was the first instrument.
I kind of consider it still...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm still learning at that, too, but kind of consider that. Like,
how'd you start playing drums?
Fifth grade, you had to either pick an instrument.
Was it for school? A school class? Yeah.
Just that. And then it kind of just moved on from there. Went on to play sports, too, but then I picked songwriting up midway through high school, I think.
Ah. I'm curious, how does one pick up songwriting in high school? How did that come to be?
It's funny. My brother did it, and I was playing drums at the time, and I had to quit playing by 5 p.m., and he got to play till like 10 p.m. So,
what do you mean you had to quit playing
at 5? It was too loud. So,
in the house?
Yeah, mom wouldn't let. And so I would pick up his guitar.
What was he playing? He was playing guitar?
Yeah, guitar, acoustic. Yeah. I think my brother David went on to some rock bands after high school.
Yeah.
So it kind of, I wanted to do it too. Play as late as I could.
That's great. Yeah. Well, that's good. So that came from your brother and your mom.
Yeah.
I think we have to give her a little kudos for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Giving you the... So songwriting at that time, do you remember how that process started to come to you? I mean, were there songwriters that you were paying attention to and curious?
Yeah. There were. I think... It didn't actually. I didn't write my first song until I decided that I wanted to start writing songs. I think I kind of put something together. I was playing other bands' drums, and I kind of wanted to be in the front and do some things. So on the side, I would say, "Yeah, I'm working on my folk project," and make a joke out of it. And
yeah.
I was in a rock band. They'd be like, "Yeah, he's working on his folk project. Big deal."
Yeah.
And I think I started listening to a lot of the modern songwriters. Like a big fan of Josh Ritter, who played in Lafayette pretty recently.
Sure, yeah.
And I started digging into some of those.
That was at the ACA?
Mm-hmm.
You did? Okay.
I think I do listen to a lot of the old guys. You know, I kind of did my research on, like, Dylan Springsteen, of course, and I still listen to it, too, but just always trying to find something new, I think.
Yeah.
And I get a lot from reading, too, so.
The reading part of that, when you think of the songs that you write, Sean, some story songs, do those come at all from stories that you have actually read? I mean, is that an influence where, you know, you'll finish a book and that's where the ideas start clicking?
Yeah, I definitely think so. A lot of it, too, is almost one-liners. I like, a big fan of Ray Bradbury.
Yeah.
And he'll spill this one idea in a full paragraph, and there'll be a couple cool lines that I like that he'd say, and it'll spark a new idea, and it might remind me of something that I'm living, and then kind of put it all together.
Yeah. So that process for you for songwriting, how has it evolved? How old are you, right?
I'm 25.
You're 25, okay. How has that evolved for you?
It's changed many different ways.
Yeah, how so?
I think in the beginning I was really, especially this album that I think we're going to listen to. When I first started, I was a little bit afraid to talk about me, and so I guess the idea of the stories through song came about. So I told a lot of stories that were kind of really about me.
Sure.
And I think now
But not blatant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think now that, and some of them are just made up too, you know, they're fun.
Yeah.
But I think now that I'm starting to discover what I love a little bit more and what I hate, and there's a lot more me's and I's in these songs rather than made up names.
Sure. So. Your process, is it pen and paper or voice recording or how do you do that?
I usually come up with something on guitar first, and I'll hum out a melody, and then a one-liner will come, and I'll build off of that. And that one-liner might be in the end of the song, so I might even go backwards.
So, okay.
But, yeah, it's usually start with the guitar and build a melody.
It does it that way.
It's happened only two times, I think, that I've written it out on paper first.
Sure.
And it fit. So.
Yeah. It's interesting now how many people that I'll talk to, songwriters, who have talked about their phones taking the place of, you know, quickly having all these different little pieces of paper where I, you know, where I used to write down an idea or a line that would come, and now it's recording into the voice memo, you know.
A lot of my friends do that. Yeah. And they'll have scrolls and scrolls, and I never got into it. I'm not super technical. It's usually in the moment.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get thrown away the songs forever, and I need to quit doing that, though.
Is there a certain time of day?
Usually the mornings. Yeah, I think. For the past couple of years, I've been, like, the lifestyle I had was slow mornings, busy afternoons, work at night, or play at night.
Yeah.
And so mornings I had a lot of nothing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, for people who aren't familiar with you, Sean, we're going to play a cut of your music. Should we start out with Gold Rush? You want to start out with that one?
It's perfect.
Okay. That's track three, Cecil. But tell us, this is from your CD, Daytime Hopes, and that came out in 2011?
Correct.
And I have to tell people, if you haven't seen the cover, it's very cool. And for you, where so much is talked about your songwriting, it's a book. You know, I mean, there's a lot of CD covers where, you know, you'll open them up and, you know, they've got the words in like you do. But this is one that more looks like a book than anyone, you know, that I've seen before. And that really fits for you. So this is Sean Bruce and this is Gold Rush.
About the rush, there was nothing left in us, so we soaked up all the whiskey from the land. But it soaked me at first, and I'm dying of thirst. I'm standing on a mountainside looking up. This treat's what I need, he's no one to please, and he can't see I stumbled in mud. Smoky mountain fog, you cover it up like smoky mountain fog. Hide your goal from me. And I'm covered up in wool, 'cause boy, I've been a fool. This gold I found, it doesn't really pay. Like a leaf in the wind, carry me to the end, 'cause San Francisco ain't my place today. But you cover it up like a smoky mountain fall. You cover it up like a smoky mountain fall. So California, why do you hide your gold from me? California, why do you hide your gold from me? So California, why do you hide your gold from me?
That was Sean Bruce. If you're just joining me, that's my guest in the studio today. And that was Gold Rush from his CD, Daytime Hopes. Tell me about that song, how that came about, the lyrics.
Okay. I call it my traveling song.
Yeah.
I guess. It's about a guy living out in the East Coast. And he's hearing all these cool things about moving out west to go get some gold, and ends up dropping everything, leaving it, and going through all the struggle, and whenever he gets there, he realizes that he's not so much into this gold, and there's not much of it for him.
Yeah.
And then just kind of ends.
Is that a long process for you, writing a song? Or is it different based on...
It's different at the moment.
Yeah,
I call it... I might even take months. Some of them don't take that long. I kind of compare it to standing on an outfield and just closing your eyes, waiting for the ball to come.
So it's kind of like that.
That one came along a little bit quicker, though.
You know, it's interesting, Sean. One of the things about you is that you tend to use different formats for getting your music out there in terms of band formats. You know, you have kind of, you know, your rock and roll band. You know, that you play with. And then there's different configurations at times where it'll be you, and I know you've used a cellist, mm-hmm, and maybe another guitar player, but then the next time it might be you on acoustic, a guitar player, a fiddle player, a cello. I mean, there's different formats that you'll take in your band. Can we talk about that a little bit? And why do you do that? How did that start?
I think it's because... I think this town is so influenced with so many musicians. It just depends on the vibe and what I'm trying to find, what I'm feeling. I might have some new songs, and let's try them this way, try them this way, where every single time people come, they say, man, that time was really cool. I remember that show.
Yeah.
And they'll like that one, the one that they attended that time. But sometimes I always have people come to me and say, man, that show where you did it with this way was pretty cool. And I think in the end, once you figure out the ultimate sound, you tried them all, and you can put your pieces together, and it works out.
So, are there songs that may have started out more kind of a rock and roll style, but then you try it in a more acoustic kind of,
and it works out.
Like, well, that works out better for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also think whenever I go to live shows and I see a band with a song I'm super familiar with, and they do it a different way, it's really cool to watch that and see how they adapt and put it out, and that's what I try to do with all the songs, I think.
Yeah. And so when you go to a gig, you know, when you're preparing for something, is that something that's like, okay, here's the feel I'm going to go for. I'm going to call so-and-so, so-and-so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a different practice every single time.
Yeah.
It is.
And sometimes, you know, because, I mean, there are so many talented people. sometimes is it that just people show up, you really haven't rehearsed it, mm-hmm. and that night becomes the first coming together of...
Right.
You do it that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that would need to rehearse before they would try mm-hmm. that. But I think the last time I had seen you was at, at Artmosphere, and you did more. It was... I'm going to tell you what it reminded me of. It reminded me of me being in college, which was in the 70s. And I remember I turned to my husband. I'm like, man, I feel like I'm back in this, back when I was in college, you know, and the kind of folks. And it wasn't in this area, but, you know, the folks I was hearing play back then and what they were doing. It's very unique what you do, you know, what you pull together. As a treat for folks today, you did bring your guitar with you.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do something live?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
What would you like to do?
I think the first song I was thinking about playing was a song called Louisiana. And this is I think the ones I'll play live today will be the newer ones
okay.
that I'm going to be putting out pretty soon.
Can you give us some history on the song?
This is I think with all the new songs I'm writing, they're all about home and things that I didn't quite realize kind of when I was younger and growing up. And once you start seeing the beauty here. So I wrote a song called Louisiana. As of now, that's what it's called. And it's about me falling in love with a girl, but she's actually the state.
The state. Yeah. All right. Very cool. This is Sean Bruce, Louisiana. As of right now, Louisiana.
Came from a town north of Maine. She wore a dress and a hat, hair down her back with a smile upon her face. We fell in love, but I was only 17. Two kids having fun, getting drunk. We were playing in sugar cane. Oh, but I was dumb and I was young. I never got her name. So sunshine, you light up my day. And I need to know, before this feeling fades away. Sweet magnolia, you're sweeter than the rain. And I've been gone long, I know, I'd take this back if I can. Oh, cause I'm feeling bored, I'm feeling gold, so darling, what's your name? She said, Louisiana, Louisiana. You are my sunshine, babe. Oh, how I love that name. Danced in bars, we twirled around, we got lost in time. And I swear to God, her mama cooked just as good as mine. So sweet magnolia, sail away with me. And I could show you the world and all the things that you never got to see. Said, hold that tongue, boy, you're staying home, but damn, that was so sweet. She said, Louisiana, Louisiana, my sunshine be. Oh, how I love that name. And then a storm, it came on strong, and it blew Louie. And I got on my knees, it was the first time I ever prayed. I said, dear God, don't take her away. She made me happy when the skies turned dark and gray. I said, I'm off to find her, so darling, listen for your name. I said, Louisiana. Louisiana. You are my sunshine, babe. Oh, how I love that name.
Cool. If you're just joining us, that is my guest in the studio today, Sean Bruce, and this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM or on the web at krvs.org. We are a public service of the University of Louisiana right here at Cypress Studios on the campus of UL Lafayette. And please take time to check out the website. We certainly appreciate everybody's support. We are listener supported. It's very easy to support the station and all the programming you hear on here. You can just go to the website, click on the donate button, and safe and secure. So my guest today is Sean Bruce. That was absolutely wonderful. I want to talk about your voice. Is that an instrument that you have had to work on, or mm-hmm. are you a natural?
Oh, yeah. I'm modified. I think I always thought.
What do you mean modified?
Because I still don't think that I sing that great at all. And I think whenever to sing out melodies and long things, you really have to sing. And sometimes I don't even want to hear that. So I add a lot of syllables, and you can get away with it.
Oh, that's why I think you have a good voice. But that's an interesting technique.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I just do a lot more syllables and. I think that's how I start to work on it. And
yeah.
Then I didn't have to worry about being confident in my voice. I just had to be confident in some lyrics or something.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice. You perform solo.
Mm-hmm.
And you also perform with bands. What's the preparation difference for you? And maybe in the mindset, is there a difference for how you prepare for a gig? Because there's a lot of people who either do one or the other. They don't do both.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when I play with a band, there's not much time to think about preparing because I just got to, you know, everyone's pretty new each time.
Yeah.
So I just try to get them all the songs before, set up the rehearsals when I could. And by the time, like, all right, guys, let's just do it.
Yeah.
See how it goes. If it messes up, oh, well, no big deal. We're here.
Yeah.
Having fun. I think when I play solo.
But you always seem to know, though, you've got pretty good musicians.
Yeah.
I mean, you have good musicians you work with.
Yeah, I do.
So it's not going to suck.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to pull off to a point, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever I play live. By myself, I swing for the fences, I think. I just go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
That's not – I always am in awe of individuals who can do that, you know, perform solo because, I mean, that's kind of the ultimate, putting yourself out there, you
mm-hmm.
know? And especially when you're doing your own material. You know, that's really the ultimate of that. The whole house concert scene, you know, that started a while back, and then you kind of didn't hear about it. Now you're hearing about it more so again.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me your thoughts on house concerts and what they bring to a performance versus, you know, at other types of venues.
Yeah, I absolutely love them. If I can do a, for the rest of my life, tour and play, it would be in a house every night.
Yeah, because
it's a win-win for everyone. I think for the artist, you get that devout attention and the ears, and most times people end up like really really supporting you more than the fact that they would at a show, because you're going into their home or
yeah
in a very private area. And then on the other side of the microphone, There's clean bathrooms. There's most times food, and yeah. you bring your own drinks, and you can bring your kids, and
yeah.
you can be home by 9 or 10.
That's right, yeah.
And which is great, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I just know as a member of the audience, they're nice because the people are there for who's performing mm-hmm. versus just to kind of be out,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it is at some venues, which, you know, that's fine, too. But I appreciate that experience, mm-hmm. you know. Do you see the house concert is seen in this area as –
Well, I don't know if you're aware, but about a week ago, yesterday, but the Monday before, I put on a pretty big one. It was probably the
most. Was that at your place?
It was going to be at my place, and
yeah.
then
that was the thing with the magnolia.
Mandolin orange.
Mandolin orange. Okay, yeah, yeah.
And what happened was there's just more of a response, and we needed a bigger home.
Very cool.
And so we actually went to my friend Stevie's house, which is right down the road, and he plays guitar with me. He's going to be playing with me Friday night.
Okay.
And so we just put it on. I did the production front to back, you know, did the booking and the promoting.
Yeah. Was it a lot through, like, social media, through Facebook and things
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, just social media. I found out this band was touring, and I was like, let's put one together and start something new, I guess, you know, innovate what's good here.
Yeah.
You know, people love music, and let's give them a good vibe. Like a good place to go and do it and
yeah.
listen to other places. Because I think sometimes I've actually almost changed my sound many times just to cater a loud bar or to cater a festival
right.
crowd.
Yeah.
And whenever I can play the songs I never get to play in a home, I'm more excited about that. You know?
Yeah. That's very cool. You'll need to book another one.
I think that's the deal. I think that's what I'm going to start doing.
Yeah.
Let's get it going.
Yeah, very nice. So. I want to let people know, too, to see Sean. As he mentioned, he is playing this Friday, February 7th, at the Blue Moon, and that's going to be where you're doing two separate. Dylan LeBlanc is playing separately,
mm-hmm.
but that's who you're doing the show with.
Sure.
So it's going to be you, and you talked about Steve. It's going to be a duo you're going to do?
We're going to do a full band.
You
we're
are?
We're going to bring
okay.
in five people on stage, I think.
Okay.
So
very cool. So folks can check that out. I also want to encourage people to find out more about Sean. You can go to his website at SeanBruceMusic.com, and you can also check him out on Facebook, too. You got invited to do the French Quarter Festival. They have a songwriter stage now, the BMI sponsors. And that was in 2012 you got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, it was, because it was right when I first put it out. You know, I didn't put it out with anything in the works as for
putting
PR.
Putting the CD out?
Yeah, putting
yeah,
the
yeah.
CD out.
Okay.
I was at that time. I didn't have anything in the works as PR and hyping it up, because it almost didn't make it out in time. And to get a response from people inviting you, it's finally people were asking me to play. And that stage and the venue where it's at in the French Quarter is really ideal. It's
yeah.
tucked away in a little courtyard, and the sound just echoes off every wall, and everyone's
yeah.
sitting. And
how did that come about?
Through.
I mean, you just got a call.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just through networking.
Very nice.
And, it's the BMI stage. They focus a lot on the Louisiana songwriters, and
yeah,
I think here in New Orleans, especially, a lot of New Orleans songwriters play it.
Yeah. Very cool. Let's go to. Should we look at Do the Wolves?
Sure.
We're gonna play another. Cut from your CD that came out in 2011, and that's Daytime Hope. Tell us about that song, The Wolves.
It's an interesting song. Whenever I first decided to make this album, I've only had 10 tracks on it, and the production for it got pushed back a couple months, and
yeah.
I slipped in a song by accident. I don't know what it's quite about yet still.
Yeah.
But
it's on the
And
scene.
Then I cut a deal with with the engineer, saying, look, we got pushed back a couple months. You think we can add one more for a good price? And he said, of course, it's a good one.
Yeah.
And we did it, and it made it on and became one of my favorites. So
cool. All right. This is Sean Bruce, and this is The Wolves. Thank you.
kiss in the sky, the sweetness of light, and the silhouettes are painted on the moon. And alone in the dark, they're reading the stars, 'cause they're scared and they're lost in the woods. Since the gods, since the day they spilled the oil to cover up the lies. Don't give up. Brushes by, every thorn that stung my fight were reminders. The heaven's just a room. It's a room with four walls meant for men who follow God. Though on earth they never learn to love, well, I learned from the wolves that love's the only rule. It's the only way to heaven. It's the hardest thing to lose. Give up.
Love that song. That's The Wolves with my guest Sean Bruce. Who else played on that with you?
On fiddle and vocals was Fawn Larson.
Talented.
I think all these people from Lafayette. Bass guitar and guitar was Chad Viator and Chris French, who are big role models in the Lafayette scene for a while for me. Banjo was Mark Rayburn. Yeah. Rayburn.
Which a lot of people know Mark from Bluegrass Jams around here.
He's really, really good banjo player. I think that might cover it all.
One of the things I want to talk to you about that I had mentioned to you was when you go into the studio to record, how does that production work for you for songs in terms of whether it's all prepared before you go in or it's created when you're there?
Actually, the record we're listening to, the extra work was created on the spot. Mm-hmm. Chad Viator did a lot of work on it. Me and Fawn played a little bit before.
Yeah.
At live shows and working out some parts, and she played them. She came with her own things then. Sometimes we did on the spot.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it, as for the root, the base of what I was doing, the drum beats were always in my head. So yeah. Those were kind of already prepared before. With the new one I'm working on, everything's kind of in the studio right now.
Yeah.
Let's keep it, and we'll come back a couple weeks later and see if it's cool.
Is there a time frame at all yet for that one? I mean, are we looking sometime in this year?
Yeah, definitely this year.
Oh, good.
So I'm hoping to have the talk about it rolling by the spring.
Yeah.
And if I can have it out by the summer, that'd be cool, but you never know. Something might delay it.
Do you do home recordings?
No, not for me personally.
Okay.
My good friend has one at his house, and we'll go in there and put some stuff down, but
that part you kind of stay away from in terms of the actual.
Yeah, it kind of gives me a headache.
Yeah.
How do you right click? I don't even know how to do that yet.
I love it. How do you right click? We'll show you before you leave.
Okay, cool.
We'll do that. For the songs that you're doing for your new CD, do you notice a difference in the style that you're playing or the types of songs? Has anything evolved or changed?
Yeah, I'm actually more excited about it than what I have on these. They're a little bit more driven, I think, lyrically and instrument wise. It's really thumping, foot stomping, and it's a totally different vibe. It's something that I've
kind of, these were driven pretty lyrically, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I guess
yeah. But that's cool though that you see it. Okay,
so I'm just So it's a lot different, I think, and I can't wait to actually have people start listening and maybe even comparing them.
Yeah. So. Did you write with other people ever on songs? Do you collaborate?
I've never done it yet. I've given it a small shot, but not super, not all the way. But
yeah.
I've never done that for my songs. I'm open to it, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's just most of the times I finish the song, it's whenever I'm like, early in the morning and by myself or something. So
yeah, very cool. When I was thinking about, Sean, with you and the style of music you play, with the new CD that you're working on, do you think it'll go back and forth in terms of the types of musicians, from kind of some of the rock and roll to more of the acoustic to, and there's different types of that acoustic you do, that real kind of folk driven. You hear some of the real kind of Celtic influence to some of it too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see it being a mix?
Yeah. It is a mix.
Yeah.
I'm happy you just said Celtic because I listen to a lot of that, and a lot of it's influenced by it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, our culture and the Irish culture share a lot when it comes to just storytelling and songwriting.
Yeah.
And I kind of blend their style of playing with my lyrics, with things I talk about over here, and that's what it's kind of about. And actually, the song I'm going to play later is about that.
Well, you can do that. You can do that right now.
Want to do it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell us about the song.
It's untitled, but I need to figure out a cool Irish word for it. I don't know. Got to do my look in the dictionary.
Yeah.
But it's a song about, I had this really, a good friend from Ireland that came in to record at Dockside, and I helped him out with some gigs and played drums for him while he was here. And I just kept stepping aside the more we hung out, how much we were exactly alike.
Mm.
And he's a bit older than me. And, but he kept calling me. I was his twin brother, and we drank the same. We drank just the same amount.
Yeah, yeah.
We cooked all the time. Our parents and family, all the same religion. We just did the same things and talked about the same things. And
sure.
I just kind of wonder, why is it that? And the idea that I came up with was that I think their culture is just like ours. They were kicked out of a country, and they went through hard times, and the potato famine, and Cajuns got kicked out of two countries, came here and got some crappy land.
Yeah.
And so the song's about these two guys meet into a bar, and they just start drinking, and they wonder why. And kind of just drinking their troubles away, and they're not too worried about it, though, because they're actually kind of happy.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But I tell the story in the, I think that would be second person. I tell it from my friend's aspect.
Okay, very cool.
And he sees me walk into a bar.
Okay.
So.
Very nice. This is Sean Bruce.
We were 3 pints in and 1 shot of whiskey when a man walked through the door. We all turned our heads as he sang about heartbreak in a place that he lived near the shore. Oh, how saddened he was, 'cause he lost his lover to a lad that was tall and he had plenty. And when he sat next to me, he shouted, "Hey, bartender, pour us 2 shots of whiskey." Oh, our troubles, we drank them away. And all that mattered, it didn't matter that day. We threw up our pints and we all shared our souls. And we drank through the morning till our troubles were gone. Sat down for hours, we talked about our lovers and all the good things he left back home. And he laughed when he said that he lost in a bet all the money that he earned on his own. I said, "Sir, you don't seem as sad as you seem, so why did you choose to run away?" He said, "Where I'm from, we got an old saying, boy. We say, laissez le bon temps rouler." So we threw up our pints and we were covered in cheer. And we were golden from the sun and we ran away with fear. Our troubles, we drank them away, yeah. That day, la 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 la
Sean Bruce with a yet-to-be-named song that he's working on. That was absolutely beautiful. Do you know Tony Davern?
I know of him.
Yeah.
A lot of people tell me. I sent him a weird Facebook request.
Yeah, you guys need to meet. You know, and Tony will really talk about, you know, for people that might be listening who don't know Tony, he's a musician that lives in the area here from Ireland, and a good landscaper too. But he talks a lot about how comfortable it is for him to live here because it's so similar to where he's from, you know, and a lot of the things that you talked about, you know, the everything to do with the culture, whether that's the culinary traditions, the music traditions, family traditions, you know, all of that. Yeah, you two need to hook up, at least have a conversation and a pint.
There you go.
You know, about that. I'm curious, Sean, if, you know, one thing, like if you ever thought about what you might be doing had you, you know, grown up in the 1700s, did you ever?
That could be.
I had to get that in there because Sean made a joke on Facebook saying that that's the kind of thing he was going to talk about.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Had you ever thought about that? What
yeah,
you might
I did.
Be doing?
I know exactly what I'd be.
What?
I thought that I would be a spice merchant.
A spice merchant?
Yeah. I think I would... But I'm more so, more of a pirate, though.
Yeah.
I think I'd be a pirate.
Like
and
ripping off other people's spices? Or
you're stealing them.
Yeah.
And creating the ultimate spice under the name of Tony Sachery.
Yeah.
And, you know, introducing it to the world.
Yeah. That would have been you.
Yeah. India wouldn't have had anything on me.
That's very good. Very good, Sean. All right. Well, you never know. Another lifetime.
Never know.
You know? Who that's playing around here grabs your ear? Who do you go out to? I'm always curious, other musicians. Who? Yeah.
There's so many.
Who do you make sure you get out to see? And it might be somebody who's new, you know, who's kind of people mm-hmm. are just finding out about too.
I'm a big, well, I really, really, really love Lost by Ramblers.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the experience for it, the whole show is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Every time they just have their own take at everything they do. So I'm actually a really big fan of them. Now, I guess, in talking about Cajun culture, I love them. I love watching Roddy Romero.
Yeah.
Big fan of that. It's all different genres. There's so many different.
Are you one to go out and listen quite a bit?
I go out almost every show there is.
You do as much as
I live right near the Blue Moon. And,
yeah, that makes
so
sense.
I hear it, and I start twitching, and I go check it out. And,
yeah.
Whether I'm usually the music's always good there,
yeah.
So I usually stick around, you know,
yeah.
I'll buy a CD or whatnot. But around here, that's I really enjoy them.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, the you know they've really added so many different influences to what they do. I mean, they've taken that style of music to a whole nother place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lost by Ramblers.
That's why I like it, I think.
Oh, it's a, yeah.
And
yeah,
I really love Louis Michaud's voice. You know,
yeah.
The second you hear it, like I went and watched the,
it's about as real
the Beast
as it gets.
Of the Southern Wild.
Yeah, yeah.
And his voice just, I walked in during the beginning, I think his song was in the beginning, and I just knew instantly that, that's a voice I heard many times.
Yeah.
And it just stands out.
Harmonica came in when for you?
I guess right when I started. Not in high school. It was right when I started songwriting.
Okay.
I needed something else. And I was listening to a lot of Ryan Adams and Bob Dylan.
Mm, okay.
I was a big Ryan. Like, I think this album was highly influenced by Ryan Adams.
Yeah.
And he plays a lot of harmonica. I picked it up, and it just kind of came along.
Yeah. When you sit down to write, it's with guitar?
Yeah, guitar. And
yeah.
A piano at my house. So.
Yeah. So do you change back and forth in terms of writing? Like it's a mm-hmm. piano written song.
Yeah.
You play piano out at all?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Play it. I'm not the greatest.
Yeah.
I can play some chords and sing, but.
No, but I mean, when you're performing with a band, you get on keyboard sometimes.
I've done it once live at the Blue Moon. And then I did it for that house concert I did about a week ago.
Ah.
We had a piano in the house, and I kind of made a joke about it, saying it was my first time playing in front of people, and I played a horrible note, and I was joking, though.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. It was a totally different vibe and changed the feel of everything. So I enjoyed
yeah.
it, and I would love to if it doesn't take up too much space.
Yeah.
But
you know, what I like about you that I think is about you, you seem to be someone who direction will change for you based on now, what that experience is I'm having right now. And then that can just totally change the direction for what you're going to do
mm-hmm.
tomorrow or at this week's concert, you know? Huh? Is that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I see that.
Yeah, I mean, you seem to be very open to, you know, I mean, how some people's processes work. They get in there and this is what I do, and I'm going in and I'm doing it, you know. And it's hard for some people to open when they're in the actual performance period and take in something. You seem like somebody who can,
mm-hmm.
you know, who can allow some things in when they're playing.
Yeah, I think it's like that with everything, though.
Hmm.
When I played sports, I was totally never opposed to changing positions because we needed to do that.
Ah, okay.
Or,
that's interesting.
You know, that's kind of with everything, I think. So.
Yeah, pretty flexible. It's a good place to be.
Yeah.
I want to remind people that Sean is playing this Friday, February 7th, at the Blue Moon. Also playing on the bill is Dylan LeBlanc. Sean's going to have a full band there. Who's opening?
Dylan's going to play first.
Okay.
He's much more acclaimed than me, but he's bringing just him and he's doing a duo.
Can you tell tell people who might not know about Dylan, who he is?
He's from Shreveport, and he passed through Lafayette a couple years ago. He was really really buzzing as a songwriter. He was on the Louisiana Crossroads.
Yeah.
And eventually he got picked up by Rough Trade Records. It's a really, really, really good record label.
Yeah.
Got some good touring. He went out to Europe and did all of North America. He toured with the Alabama Shakes, Civil Wars.
Cool
I even read that he sang with Bruce Springsteen for something.
Which, very nice.
That's like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon for me.
Yeah, that's right.
Good.
Yeah.
So he's really, really good. I've been listening to him for about 5 years now, and kind of by luck,
yeah.
I got the offer to go play over there. So I was definitely excited about it.
Wonderful.
And I think I was past due a good show. So
there you go. So get out this Friday to see Dylan LeBlanc, but to see Sean Bruce. And to find out more about Sean, go to his website at Sean Bruce. And that's Sean, S-E-A-N, brucemusic.com. Or check it out on Facebook, too. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on today. We are going to go out off of your CD, Daytime Hopes, the song O River. Can you give us a little bit about that?
Yeah. That was one of the interesting ones. I think you brought it up. How long does it take to write a song?
Yeah.
That song got put last because it took me a long time.
Over a year?
No. about less than 6 months, maybe.
Okay.
I used to go jogging near my house near this bayou, I forget which name it was, but when I would run on beat, I would inhale and exhale the beat, and I kept singing over and over, over and over, and I wrote the song while I was jogging.
That's pretty cool.
Or I'd come home and then go jogging.
Yeah, but that's cool that you keyed in on that beat.
It took a while, though.
Very nice. Everybody have a good week. This is Sean Bruce, O River.
Seagulls glad to see. the whole world can get a better taste, a better taste, better taste of me. Tossing and I'm turning through a tough tide, I'm hurting, but the ocean's meant for me. I said, ocean, send me on a wave to push me through the days to a land where I can dream. Come on, let's live a life. The ocean's calling my name.